For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This is the 2006 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, July the 2nd, 2006. Jim Landry is the speaker of this service, teaching on delegated authority.
Brother Landry.
God bless all of you. Fathers, we gather this hour. We pray, God, pour out your blessings upon us. Give us today our daily bread. Prepare our hearts, Father. Let them be fertile. Let them receive the word of God, which is able to deliver our souls. For God, as we appear before the throne room of grace, we pray, God, that we might be disciples that will bring forth fruit for the kingdom. I pray, God, for every man, woman, boy, and girl present today and those that will hear the message via the tapes, the blessings of the Lord be of their household. Pray, God, in this message, God, that first and foremost, that I will be blessed and that I will be attentive to thy sayings as I share the message to your people. And that they would be blessed, and they would be attentive to thy sayings. Oh God, how I love your word. Oh God, how I love the brethren. So I pray that this message will be a great blessing to all of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. I have so many wonderful friends here, and I do miss all of you. I am not the least bit wavering about my commission to serve at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And so I do not take my job lightly. And each of you are so precious, and it's easy for me to love those who love me back. It's been a little difficult loving those who don't love me back. But I am really happy to be here, and there have been some times when it's been pins and needles. There's been some challenges. It's been, you know, everyone has their issues, right? I mean, there's times when I have to reach into the back of the tank on the back of my 18-wheeler and pull gas from there because I didn't make it to a station, too. This morning, I want to share a little bit about spiritual authority, spiritual authorities. And as we were worshiping the Lord, what came to mind, what came to heart first is, I don't want to see any hands, but this morning, let's say I was announcing to you of a great challenge that was before us. And that we were selecting a team to go with us into some dark region in the southern country of India. And we're going to be doing some major spiritual warfare. I mean, it's going to get dirty. And I need the hands of those who are ready to go. More than likely, those that quickly raised up their hands hadn't considered the cost. But those who had sought the Father, visited with their families, and contacted me discreetly were probably the ones that would be the 300. I have another question to pose to all of you. For some of you are already in leadership. Others are aspiring leaders. And the young people want to know their place in the kingdom of God. Today, I'm going to elevate everyone to the office of an evangelist temporarily. And I've met all of you over the last 5 years. And over the last 5 years, we meet at a camp maybe once or twice a year. In the course of our meeting, we have never really called each other, but we tend to know each other. We tend to have a good time when we see each other. And occasionally, in the course of the 5 years, maybe once or twice, that was an email or a newsletter that we have shared with one another. But nothing beyond that. Nothing very intimate or very personal as to say that you are my personal friend, but you are my brother and sister in the Lord. At the conclusion of the last camp, I told you I would be contacting you, each one of you, to speak at our church at a conference. And the conference theme was going to be on grace. As the overseer, I set the agenda. The agenda, the theme, as the Lord led me, is on grace. You have 6 months to prepare. 3 months into your preparation, I email you and say, thank you again for considering our invitation. I'm looking forward to seeing you and your wife and children. We're just so happy to see you. We look forward to seeing you on the 23rd, XYZ month, 3 months from now. You fly in a day early because I want to take you out to eat. Right. I want to show you the city. You get off the plane. And my question to each one of you as the evangelist that's coming to our city, and I tell each one of you personally, John, Alexis, last night, the Lord visited with me, and never before in my ministry have I ever done this. But I'm asking you to change the message tomorrow morning. God has said that we need to share on the end times and no longer the message of grace. And each one of you this morning have to think about what your answer might be. Some of your answers could be, well, Brother Jim, that's fine, but I mean, I spent 3 months fasting praying. I know God showed me this. Some of your answers could be, I'll do it, but I don't understand why. Some of your answers could be, okay. And for hopefully, at the conclusion of this message, many of you may change what your answer might be. I never thought that there was so much rebellion in ministry until I taught 60 weeks on spiritual authority for 45 weeks in two different cities. And I posed that same question, and those are some of the answers I got. And then I realized how inadequate I had been in delivering God's message. I took accountability. I took responsibility. And I began the process of preparing and directing more efforts from the Lord to the congregations to prepare them for the last days and root out that seed of rebellion that had escaped me in my quest to be faithful in what God had called me to do. In other words, I take accountability. I had some contractors doing some work. It cost me $16,000 of wasted money last year. Well, somewhere between September and February. And the man, I'm talking to the contractor, and I'm saying, this is inappropriate. This is not going to work. And the man is kind of going, well, this is right. This is. And then it dawned on me, I hired someone, and they had done the best they could. That was all. It was my fault. So it was an $8,000 loss there, $7,000 loss somewhere else. And now I have competent Christian contractors. Because I will work with anyone that have integrity with their business. Let that be known. And so, this morning I want to share a little bit about spiritual authorities, delegated authorities, and being a delegated authority. One thing for sure is it's not enough that we just recognize authority. We should be, as members of the body of Christ, looking for those whom to obey. Real authority looks to submit. Deliverance workers that are not under authority, not understanding God's message of authority and the authority structure of God, will not effectively engage the enemy, and they're not going to be able to minimize or mitigate the casualties amongst themselves and other workers in the battle. We must take an attitude of submission, an attitude of humility. Real authority is humility. In Matthew, the 8th chapter of Matthew, take a moment to turn there. People, when God began to share the message of authority to me a number of years ago, it changed the message. It changed the ministry. It's nothing more greater than mentorship. Having Pastor Glenn and Brother Noel and Pastor Dean and Pastor Parrish and all of the elders, I have so many friends and elders from around the country. I was thinking while we were worshiping the Lord, I'm not intimidated or fearful, but I am careful around my leadership. I'm careful with what I say. I'm candid, and they're candid with me, but I honor authority. And I don't know how, but it's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit to get this across to you today, because it will change your understanding about leadership. It will enhance your ministries beyond your expectation. I believe there's growth in humility. I believe your growth is stunned in rebellion. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 5, and when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at the home, sick of the palsy, and grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he come, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This centurion servant says, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. People, real authority is found in real humility. In humility. The centurion servant said, I am a man under authority. He understood authority because he was submitted to authority. In order to have authority, you must be under authority. No man can be an authority who is not submitted to authority. And hopefully we'll drive this point over and over in this next hour or so. Jesus said, I have not found so great faith. We have different types of faith in the Bible, several types listed in the New Testament. But here we find great faith. No, not in Israel. How did this centurion soldier obtain a great faith not found in all Israel? Authority. He understood authority. He was under authority. The faith he had was rooted in obedience to authority. There are believers and deliverance workers that still haven't recognized this very simple principle, this very simple truth of God. The degree of submission can affect your degree in your commission. The degree of submission can affect your degree in your commission. Delegated authority is representative. It is not inherent, which means it doesn't come naturally. We ourselves do not have authority. I heard Daryl Parrish asked the congregation, do we have authority as believers everywhere? And they said, yeah, we do. Well, we'll see. We are here, however, to represent and execute God's authority on earth, the church, the home, and when possible, society itself. We are representatives of God's authority. We are not the authority. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. Boy, we're just excited that we casting out devils and they are submitted to us. But Jesus said in verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Normally, this is going to be a function of your mentor to help work with your character development so you don't get out of sync because you're excited about this great message of deliverance. You're excited about healing and deliverance, and God is adding more and more talents to your ministry. By being submitted to your mentor, to your pastors, you're going to be developing. She's going to work on your character development in those areas. They're going to be able to offer you personal experiences so you don't look like someone totally ignorant and foolish out there. They're going to provide rebuke, reproving, and edifying. Mentorship is absolutely necessary and a part of God's overall plan for discipleship. We need to realize that too many in particularly the deliverance ministry have refused mentorship because no one has the revelation that they got in the city. That is such a common saying that it smells of sulfur from unclean spirits. Watch out for those that have an opinion on everything because they have not humbled themselves before God. They always feel they know how the ministry things ought to take place in the church. They know everything from the kitchen to the pulpit. Watch out for those. Real leadership, real submission, loses their opinion. I trust my leader. He's paid the price. He's serving God. He submits to us for prayer, whatever it takes. And if I don't quite understand something, because I haven't gravitated to the degree of light to put all of those things that he's saying, I wait and wait and let God add on the shelf until I can say, I got it, I understand, I got it. I don't say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Now, if I have a legitimate question, I'll just say, I don't understand. Would you explain something? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going to Diane and saying, You heard what he said? I believe he's losing. He ate something. Real leadership can't stand demons. That means they can't stand to be in the presence of those who yappy, yappy, yappy against leadership. So I will work with you, and I'm going to love you when you come with that yappy yap. But I want you to know I'm not comfortable with it. Matthew, the 21st chapter of Matthew, in verse 23, the scripture says, and when Jesus was coming to the temple, the chief priests, the elders of the people, came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Those of you with the knowledge of God's authority are going to also be challenged by rebellious workers, rebellious leadership with selfish opinions, not looking to submit but wanting to control. You must be respond with the same love Jesus responded. You have to ask God to show you and teach you how to love those that are rebellious because there's a temptation seated in the old man in the flesh to fight back. to establish a perimeter and dare you to cross it. Believe me, I know more than most people about that, coming from a strong military background and family, and great emphasis up on strength in the flesh, strong arm of the flesh, strength in your own directions. And I could spend a few minutes talking about some things that were done in our family historically in the 60s, and it would be all more clear why I would have come from such a hard background of trying to establish my own righteousness. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. And then Peter took him and began to rebuke God." He began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But he turned and he said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savors are not mindful of the things that be of God, but those that be of men." We look at Peter's opinion here. Peter rebuked the Lord, saying, "It will not be this way." Clearly, Peter was very presumptuous and lacked insight. He did not deny himself. And so, submission and submitting to authority is cross-bearing, is crucifying the flesh, denying self, because the enemy is going to give you this great picture of some relative or some school teacher that you're not going to see. You're just going to see the leader, and you're going to judge them based on certain personality issues that happened in your youth, and you're going to relate it to the leadership as an adult, unless you get those issues that happened in youth resolved. And this is one of the things that I had most to deal with. I'm not going to get into a lot of testimony for the sake of time. Let's just stay with the message. But once again, like I said, I come from a strong fighting family politically and everything else educational-wise in our city. Peter allowed pride to block his understanding concerning spiritual things. And we have to be very cautious not to allow pride to block our understanding. We are not called to express our views in matters that are not our own, unless they fall into our representation of authority. I'll give you an example that I heard here a few months ago. I have lots of nieces and nephews. One of my brothers has a girl and a boy, lovely children. But my question to you would be, do I have authority over my brother's children? Well, let me ask you another question. If my brother said they're going on the cruise, and he and his wife would like my wife and I to take care of his children, and they're going to be staying with me for 5 or 6 days, do I have authority over them now?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So authority is representative. Authority is responsibility. I don't have authority everywhere. My authority is in relationship to my responsibility. In the areas where God has given me responsibility, I've been delegated authority. When I don't have authority, it's because I don't have a responsibility there. So there's a great fad that's running the country right now. We just got authority everywhere. But the ranks are being destroyed prematurely because of an ignorance of God's word. And I also, one of my friends and I were talking last night, had a deliverance from taking up other people's offenses. They get into a little click over here, and they talking about what the so-and-so did and what the teacher did, what the boss did, what the supervisor did, what the preacher did, and they all go, "Yeah, you're right," and you don't have anything against, you hadn't heard it that way, that wasn't what you felt, but because you love them so much, you just took on their offense. Before you know it, you mad, everybody mad. In Romans, the 13th chapter, Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, the governing authorities. For there is no authority or power but of God. The authority that be are ordained of God. Whomsoever therefore resisteth the authority, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment." Now we just read over that because it doesn't really apply to us, but it does. Duh. God has established all authority. I do mean all authority too. All things are created through God's authority, and the acts of God issue from his throne, and his throne is established upon authority. We are commanded scripturally to submit to spiritual authorities and secular authorities unless they conflict with our spiritual experience. And if so, then we need to be prepared to be a martyr. I didn't say anything about marching at the Capitol, but we need to be prepared to die for our belief. Some of us need to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It would be a great, great renewing to you to know what our brothers and sisters and the cost that they paid to see that the gospel was evangelized throughout the world. The question is, if we understand the authority structures of God, why are there so many members of the body separated from authority, serving independently and not accountable to God, delegate his authorities? And I'm speaking of both in the spiritual perspective and in the secular perspective. We have far too many today that speak against our nation, but we sing, God bless them. But out here, we get into a big debate over the Democrat and Republican. Man. We finally get a man to stand up against abortion, stand up against homosexuality, and we mad. Something wrong with that picture. Something wrong with that picture. I was with a trooper yesterday, that young man, he sat by me in the airport, and we were talking. I said, young man, you saved? He said, yeah. I said, where you going? He said, I'm going back to Little Rock. I'm similar to God and serving God in the Air Force. I said, well, good, we got to talk with him. And I said, well, I want you to know that our congregation, my family, we support you troops, and we're just honored at the work you do. He said, you mean that? Well, there's a persuasion that believe that Afro-Americans is against the war. Well, that's not a bad persuasion, because a lot of more. And a lot of more against the Republican Party. They see blindly and not what God wants them to see. Anyway, if you want information about that, get the book that I wrote on breaking the African-American curse. We need to see what God sees. We need to love what God loves, and we need to hate what God hates. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, we have so many workers out there excited about doing God's work. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, let me show you what the Lord has to say about the workers. In Matthew 7th chapter, verse 21, the scripture says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Boy, we was excited last night. We got to telling people about deliverance and got to praying. Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we cast out demons, and we've done, in thy name, done many wonderful works, sing and teach and write. And then will I, Jesus said, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Your works are done in the flesh. Your works are done in rebellion. Let me take from a chapter in this booklet a comment. Jesus has warned the church that many will share the gospel with others and will be themselves in self-deception. Healing the sick and casting out devils is not a qualification for leadership. And yet many believe so. They're ready to separate from the ministries where they're under accountability and start a church because they got deliverance. That's not how the church is started. It's more to it than that. No man can be an authority who is not submitted to authority. People to serve without order, to serve without obedience to authority, is ministering out of a spirit of strange fire. Ministers that are not under authority will more than likely become wanderers. In the scriptures, it talks about wanderers, which are church hoppers, and they'll hop around trying to find and pick through the leadership to see what you know. You know about this in Revelation? You know about that? God began to show me this. God showed me that. And they'll find, well, you're teaching something, then they'll catch you off guard with something totally off. It's not that you don't know it, but your mind is focused and fixated on the message that God's giving you for that hour. And then they come up and hit you on the side of the head with something totally out of proportion, and you're just not ready to answer. So that just helps give fuel to their great revelations. Spirit, I think Marilyn Hickley said about 20 years ago, spirit of variance. Used in a spiritual way. So after hopping for a season, wandering, chopping around, and chopping up leadership, generally they will start their own little work. They will, they may start a work in their homes and convince all those that come to the homes and burn them with their own experience by saying, there's nowhere to go here. They're all full of tradition out here. There's no church in Beaumont to go to. We serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's have prayer meeting. Woo! They teach them rebellion to the people here. I have people we have taught over the last 20 years that are pastors and leaders in denominational church, non-denominational church, and they are very thankful for the revelation. And they know that I've loved them and I have not judged their ministry, so we have not caused their ministries to be stagnant or unfruitful because of my words. So we cross all denominational lines. whoever will. And we let God bring them into the higher levels of enlightenment of truth. That's not my responsibility. That's the Holy Spirit working through God's responsibility. So I leave the judging to God, because he does usually do the right judgment. I just love him. But many times, because of the rebellious attitude and nature working from the spirit of rebellion and in deliverance workers, or in ministries that separate from authority, they feel very comfortable in obtaining license to continue their ministries from high-profile ministries across the land. And many of the mega churches are providing these licenses with little or no supervision. Not all of them. And no, I'm not against the mega church movement. But certainly in every move, there's going to be a demonic side of it. And there's going to be a spirit. You have to know which ones are working in the spirit, which ones are working for self, which one is looking for another seat. Number seat number 4099. You, what's your name? Never mind. I'll look at the register. So no mentorship. No way for me to say, you're in error right now. Let's sit down and talk. No, you just send me the $100. I'll send you the license. If that's what you think is mentorship, I've had my parade rained on a lot of times. I can tell you many things, my pastor. I just love my pastor, his wife. She blessed me. Sister Dean blessed me a few weeks ago. She said, Jim, you just do so much for us. You just love us. And she write me little letters and she just tell me things. Send me emails. It's just so precious, you know. Just so precious. And I hope that in my latter years that I'm looked upon as a leader that gave from the heart, not just from the pocketbook. Whatever. As long as I serve God, that's what's important. An individual that is a delegated authority of God will be measured by how he or she give and receive correction, and not just give a correction. So as leaders and potential leaders, you need to also be willing to receive correction. Sometimes I've had statements made to me, and they just missed the mark on the opinion, or they didn't understand. I understood the same truth, and that was fine. And so they made the statement and then began to apply the principle and try to correct me without even knowing if I already agreed. The test in that trial is, can you take a moment out and just let them speak what they have to speak and not be so quick to tell them, and when they finish and ready to go, I already knew that. But using an opinionated person that has an issue that's going to hurry up and try to correct and tell you, I know that revelation. Yeah, me too, that. So sometimes you're going to have to learn to take it. Real authority is humility and not about establishing our own righteousness. We are the end time work of God, the Savior's Obadiah 21. We are the deliverers that God is raising up to set the captives free. And so expect there's going to be some pruning, some weeding out. There's going to be some uncomfortable times. There's going to be some seasons of wilderness where you feel like he's not even there. Trust me, I've had several. I've heard Brother Bijou is going to be coming tonight. He prophesied to me about 5-6 years ago. I was standing back there and I said, oh, no. I know he looked at me. He probably said, Pastor Landon, something wrong with him. Because he was telling me something. I just said, oh, no, because I had went through so much the 6 months before. And I thought I was getting free, you know, from that wilderness experience. And this man come and grabbed me and started prophesying about what I was going to go through. And I went through it. But if he remembered, because I'm certain he didn't, if he did, he might have mentioned it to his wife, but he didn't judge me. But I know he heard me say, oh, no. Now, here's the pastor, the brother, the board member, and I'm telling the man that's prophesied on life, oh, no. that's humility. I knew it was going to happen. I just, oh, mercy, God, mercy. I don't know if he ever told you about that. I don't know. He might have thought I was manifesting. I was manifesting. Oh, Lord. Boy. At some point in your ministries to the Lord, you're going to find yourself in the position of delegated authority. You're going to find yourself dealing with the issue of, as a delegated authority, with the issue of correction. Okay, so not only are you going to need correction, but you're going to have to administer correction. The correct posture for anyone in receiving the end of correction is graceful acceptance and repentance. Sometimes people are speaking in your lives and they can see things that you don't see. I had a wonderful breakfast with a couple from Texas this morning, and in the midst of the conversation, the word came out stress. Well, when it came out, it was like a bell rung. Bing, 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 bing. You remember in school? Bing, bing, bing. And it just rung up. Oh. And so, and I let them know that. I said, well, that's good. I said, I'm gonna get some prayer about that. I said, maybe that's something there that God was trying to show. They weren't even talking about stress for me. We were just talking. But the bell rung. Bing, 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 bing. And then I guess about 15 minutes later, I think Elder Jerry, Sister Jerry, and Sister Carla happened to be coming by, and I said, hey, let's pray. We're going to get deal with stress. Now, I don't feel it, but that doesn't mean anything. God will give you a word, and if you're under authority, then you'll adhere to that. And the pastor submitting to the congregation for ministry is almost a don't hurt. I mean, what's the term for that, man? Unheard of. But I will really, and I can tell when the ones that I'm training in ministry at the local level are preparing themselves and almost ready to go to the field is when they're not uncomfortable with ministering to me. Okay? Let's see what God says here. On the other hand, there are many that are so deceived and unfaithful concerning submitting to authority, they never stay in one place under authority, that those delegated authorities might be able to speak correction into their lives. As soon as correction is spoke, then they take offense and they're ready to depart. I know that many of you are familiar with what I'm saying. They stay on the run. They stay on the run from the gun of the Lord. In many cases, Satan seduces them into a state of self-righteousness. They establish themselves as the called out one of the Lord. They even pay tithes to their own ministries. And they're only accountable to self, and they say, I'm accountable to the Lord. But they are accountable only to themselves. However, no person in authority or no person is an authority unless they are submitted to authority. And I hope if I say this 21 times or whatever, we'll get that understanding today. Now, the correct posture and attitude for any one of us dispensing correction should be the goal of redemption and, if possible, reconciliation. And if you have an issue with trying to administer correction to somebody that you're going to correct, remember, you can't really remove a stick out of someone's eye. Yeah, you got a point in yours. So now if you pass that stage, you can sort of administer correction. Your goal has got to be redemption and reconciliation, not that I told him so. Now he can go and do what he want to do. I let him go. Man, boy, you something else, aren't you? No, I mean, we don't want anyone to slip through. We want everyone to make it. We're in this business to win. Amen. Win souls for Christ. The most accurate measure of a leader is how he or she reacts to correction. The character of a delegated authority should be graciousness. Now, let's turn to the book of Numbers, the 16th chapter of Numbers, and look at the rebellion of Korah. And Numbers 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Ishar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, Oren, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Today that might be deacon. Deacon is so-and-so. So-and-so chairman of the youth department. One time there was this man, I got this from one of my teachers years ago, he had appointed over the youth department. And it's a very large congregation, so there's salary and stuff like that. I think a non-denominational group at that time in Texas. Very large ministry. And this came straight from his mouth telling me. And he saw some things that were taking place, and he went to the pastor over that department that he appointed, and he asked him, said, you know, what is this? And not in a mean sense, he just asked him, what, you know, this, and I've seen certain things taking place, and would you talk to me about what are your intentions? What are you doing? God called me to be the pastor of this youth department. And God is the one who told me what to do. And God knows he fired him.
Well, anyway.
In verse 3 it says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves, God is the one that promotes, above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, Moses fell on his face. In the rebellion of Korah, we can see the right attitude of a leader. The first reaction of Moses to this uprising was to fall upon his face before the Lord, not to jump in the person's face. Mercy. I mean, if you really love people and you see them blowing it, I mean, that's the way it got to be. It's got to be that way. It can't be that, boy, I did not tell them, did not give them the right word. Boy, I straightened them out last night, didn't I? It's graciousness. Man, you got to really love, you know. Well, people, okay, I'll leave that alone. But anyway, and then in verses 5 through 9, as he spoke to Korah and to all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy. Then in verse 8, he said, Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, the sons of Levi, seeming it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. Moses spoke to Korah and the sons of Levi. Basically, Moses was saying, What's the matter with you? Do you not see the call of God upon you as big enough? And so we need to think about what's happening here. This is a very important point here. You alone are allowed to minister to God, before God in the tabernacle. You alone are representative to the people in the congregation. You have a tremendous responsibility. What's the matter with you? Many today are not faithful in their callings because they desire another man's work. They want to intrude into an office they haven't been called to. They got all the opinions about how it ought to work. I tell you what, Absalom, if I had them listening to me, I guarantee it'll work better. I'll make it work. We need to tell Glenn to go get join the musicians. Now, Glenn is the pastor and the overseer, and we're a great privilege to be able to serve under his leadership. It's a great privilege. Great. Some of you may not realize that for another 30, 40 years, the younger people. Some of you already realize that. How privileged we are. For there is a shortage of disciplined disciples in our nation and in the world today. Everyone is going their way. We can turn on three different religious stations. There's a new wave of this, a new manner of that, a new move of that. And God says, I got old, man. You ain't even dealing with yet. You're not even dealing with our. Many times in the congregation of God, there are those that cannot see the visions of God for their own vision. They have adopted the vision of the rap artists, me, myself, and I. And they let you know if you're not doing it right by putting up signs about get back. So they're rappers in the spirit. God appoints, and God is the one who delegates various authorities within the body. God is the one who assigns leadership with the responsibility of delegating authorities. Delegated authorities should never be considered based upon popularity, wealth, education, and many other secular abilities. And yet we find many times in many of the assemblies that have not understood the revelation, they promote based on their leadership based on their secular abilities. The treasurers are mathematicians or accountants. And so Satan comes early into the churches and begins to set up certain spiritual, the term would be, satanic schemes and devices. And he places himself strategically in those positions in order to control the work of the Lord in the ministry. So God is the one that delegates and have delegated Pastor Miller. He is our delegated representative of God. President Bush is our delegated authority over the United States of America. Yeah. And I say it with great privilege, I honor our president. The last president, I honored him. And I didn't have anything too much to say until after he left. But I honored him. I did. I mean, I was careful with my words. And but I have to admit, I was glad when the dashikis left and the big collars left the White House and integrity was restored back to the office. But nothing personally. Nothing on a personal basis. And I was careful how and when I shared anything about our country's authority as not to brew a rebellion within the congregation. Those that are accountable, those that are not accountable and unwilling to submit to authority or the authorities of God have second masters. They think that they are submitting to God, but they are committing spiritual adultery. They are adulterers because they have two lovers. They say they're serving God, but they're also serving the kingdom of self. They're second masters. Excuse me, I'm going to remove my jacket. And I believe, without question, it's the spirit of Korah operating in many of the assemblies that leads to this confusion and strife and ministry shortages in various gifts. A lot of competent workers that can be a great asset to many works established by God in our cities that have just not have ripened into the enlightenment that God wants them to ripen to, distance themselves and separate from the work. Now, some need to separate because God has called them and showed them some revelation and so he moves them and separates them. But if I was to ask some of the pastors here today, in the early years or even presently, Did you have, or do you have, musicians to help you in worship and praise? And many would probably say, well, we don't have a piano player. We use the tapes and CDs, or we do have a piano player, but we don't have any other instrumentation. It's a great shortage in worship and praise. But there are, in many assemblies today, there are many that are sitting out there that are not using those gifts. One who is truly called of God to represent Him will pray, will intercede, and act to keep those under their authority in the grace of God. Not in rebellion, but in the grace of God. Those of us that understand authority, they recognize it everywhere. Not only our ministry leadership, such as our pastors and apostles of our faith, but they will also recognize the secular authorities as well. When I go to a restaurant, an authority takes me to a table and sits me down. If I choose a table, they might say, no, it might be on a number of reasons. First of all, it may not be clean. It may have a broken stool. It may be reserved. But no, I'm the great man of God. I'm going to sit here. I recognize authority at the school crossing. When that guard puts that sign up and start walking them little babies across the road, I stop. In fact, I start stopping when I see the lights. But there are those that run through there. I recognize authority with Linda and Sister Patty when we get ready to go have lunch. We don't get past the line as we pay the price. And so there are the authorities running, but the authorities back there cooking. So I'm not going to say, Ron, it's horrible today. I might tell him outside, but no, Ron is an excellent cook. When I got here last night, he's going to make me eat. He's going there and fix all that food. I said, oh, man. But anyway, God bless him. God bless his dad, his maintenance man back there, handles the water back there every day for y'all, the coffee and all that. Just wonderful people. But are we recognizing authority everywhere? We should. We should start our days off with the very first stop sign we run into. That's authority. Well, did you run it? Well, I don't know. In First Peter, the second chapter, just a few more scriptures. I just want you to get the point because it's got to get inside of us if we're going to grow. God, He builds through humility. And He'll build your commissions through submission. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 13, the scripture says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. It is our Christian duty. It is our Christian responsibility to honor the rulers. As a citizen of America, each of us are commissioned to pray for this nation, for its leader, for the delegated authorities throughout, such as our senators, our governors, our mayors, our commissioners, our police department. I have a couple of police officers that I intercede for all the time. Couldn't tell you their name. I've forgotten them. But they pulled me over and didn't give me a warning. One time I had just buried one of our elders, and I just was kind of like had no sleep, and I just was, you know, I ran the light. I just didn't judge it right. And I just, he said, didn't you see that light? I said, I'm wrong. I said, I just come back from a funeral. I said, I just didn't judge it. I had no sleep. He said, Pastor's going home. And one time I was doing 70 and a 50, where it had a dip, and when it came back up, the speed was raised, but I didn't catch it, and the officers told me gone. And so these people are continually on my prayer list. So God appointed me to intercede on their behalf. So we just had an officer that was shot in our city yesterday. Obviously, it'll be the day before yesterday. It hit national news when this man killed his wife and two children and himself, and the officer was shot trying to get to the 7-year-old girl, which the man had no need to kill her because she was a visitor. He was after his own family. And incidentally, his daddy had killed his mama years before. That's why our business is of great importance, and it's not to be taken lightly, and we should work under authority. How privileged are we that have authorities that can help us in our character development and their experiences to mentor us and prepare us for the work and for the days that lie ahead. For there are going to be testings. There are going to be trials. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 17, the scripture says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy. Can't do it with joy when you're in my face all day rebuking and challenging me. And boy, it's hard. I'm doing my best to love you. But every time I see you up there trying to give me another revelation, and Pastor so-and-so, I just think the Lord told me to. But I'm trying. I'm gonna work through that thing because I know I got to love you because that's the only way you ever going to grow and develop. So we may not admit this, but a lot of us have been confronted with this on an often basis. And not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. How do you want to be profitable? A profitable servant will do more than they ask to do. I mean, you do what you're supposed to do according to Luke 17 chapter, and consider yourself unprofitable. But you want to be profitable, then do more than what you're asked to do. And so we have a responsibility as a Christian to submit to God's delegated authorities, and they are accountable to Him, and we are accountable to them and their commissions over our lives. But we have a tremendous amount of deliverance workers today that don't have authorities, and so how is this scripture being fulfilled in their life? All right, let's just tear it out. I forgot to bring an extra piece of paper. Oh, let me see if this is one. No, I need to use that. That's another lesson. So we just tear that one out. Because if you're sitting out there and you don't have an authority, I don't care what your excuse is, that's between you and the Lord. Then how is this scripture here fulfilling your life? So we can just take that one out. Let's jump to 18 then. Maybe you got that one. I just wouldn't do it. Even though our pastor, even though we have a number of works and people and that look to us and we look to, it is easy for me if God spoke into my spirit today when I sat down there and said, you'll be going to Houston tomorrow. You're going to relocate your family, and you're going to be submitting to such and such a church over there. It would be easy for me because that's all already in me. It's in me. I'm not even interested in getting up here. It's already in me. So it's got to get in your submission. God can't really use you. It's a lot of works that I could have established and done because I have invitations all over the world. I mean, so many just to go teach, go. And I can take maybe some deliverance messages to some dark regions of the country and the world, and I've been asked to many, many times. But I don't move until God moves. We got to move with the cloud. Amen. I don't want to be a casualty of war prematurely and cause others not to receive the revelations God has given to me in my haste for popularity. Authority is established by God. Therefore, no delegated authority need to try to secure his or own authority. Do not insist others listen to you. If they err, let them err. If they don't submit, let them be insubordinate. If they insist on going their way, let them go. A delegated authority ought not to strive with men. Although David was anointed of God and appointed to be king, for many years he remained under the hand of Saul. He did not stretch out his hand to institute his own authority. In the same way, if God ever appoints you to be an authority, you should be able to bear the opposition of others. It is not authority when a husband says, I'm God's established authority here in the home, therefore, wife, you must listen to me. That's control. Just recently counseled a family about that. Church leaders need not routinely remind their congregations of their authority. Y'all need to follow me. I am the authority of God. But we'll find that in the do-it-all ministries very often. They're controlled by prophecy. You say, well, they must be of God. They have a lot of prophecy. Well, yeah, they need prophecy because they don't understand. And God has given them tongues and interpretation because unbelievers. Well, anyway. If God chooses you, receive it with humility. If God does not call you, why should you strive? There's no reason to strive. Many novice preachers, or preachers that have not really been commissioned to the field, spend most of their ministries striving about not being accepted here or there, or how they brought the truth to some deceived bunch. It's pride. It's rebellious pride. They like disrespecting the overseers. They'll go to a meeting. They'll win the weak and rebellious ones in the congregation over to their favor. I know of a case where an individual went to teach, and someone in leadership invited them. Not one of the ministry leadership, but another leader in the church, but not on the ministerial staff. And the person just constantly talked about that person, and that person is, and that person is. Oh, by the way, Pastor so-and-so, they were already sowing strange fire, seeding strange fire and rebellion into that congregation when they did that. These individuals usurp authority. They have spirits of Absalom, and that's a dangerous spirit. So if you have a tendency working in you to want to be opinionated about leadership, particularly here or anywhere where God is moving and God is raising up a work and developing a work, then it could be Absalom. And you need to challenge that spirit of Absalom out of your life. Do a study on the life of Absalom and get him out. You've got to be delivered from Absalom. Now, concerning those that will be placed under your authority in years to come, or maybe those that are already in leadership here presently, when a delegated authority has been entrusted to you and they're being tested, don't do nothing. Let them go through the test. In other words, when they are not functioning at the level of their calling, or they have been called to that level but have placed themselves there, don't do nothing. As a leader, do not be in haste, nor strive, nor speak for yourself. In fact, leadership is a very lonely calling. You're going to find that those of you that are pastors and or will be pastors, leadership is lonely. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Remember, they rebel not against you, but they rebel against the Lord. They sin against God's authority, not against your authority. The one whom they disgrace, criticize, and oppose is not you, even though they're coming at you. If your authority is really of God, those who oppose will find their spiritual course blocked. There will be no more revelation to them. Their message will remain courtyard and starlight in delivery. Their growth will be stunned because of the spirit of rebellion operating within. And that's a very dangerous position to be in as a disciple of the Lord, thinking that you are in great revelation and you're out in the courtyard and don't even know it. And you're steady talking to people and they're just talking back to you, but you courtyard all the way and you think you got this great revelation because you've seen the water turn green or some gold teeth fall in somebody's mouth. That's God's business. Ain't nothing to do with you. Who are you? Just another vessel being used. And we're just here for a season. We're just passing through. Where did you leave when you leave this place? Did you leave a bunch of rebellious workers out there stomping all over Las Vegas talking about, well, we're going to clean this city up for Jesus in the wrong way of doing it? I studied the biblical experience of the disciples, and I see humility. I see martyrs. I see people dying. I see the great persecution, the church on the scattered, just exploding. Now, I don't see a bunch of karate experts and martial art experts going in and saying, we're going to clean up Las Vegas for Jesus. I don't see a bunch of breaking ice, a spiritual paranormal feats done. I don't see that. I pattern after what I see in the scriptures, and that's the way it should be, humility. Be willing to die that way, not the flesh. That's another message. I'm sorry. The government of God, just a few minutes, is a most serious matter. May God be gracious to us that we may know what authority is, fearing God, distrusting ourselves. In Christ Jesus' life was authority. Jesus was God the Father's delegated authority. I want to read something here from Watchman Nee's book, page 62 here. During Abraham's time, God gave men dominion over the whole earth. What they were to govern, however, were the living creatures. And after the flood, God handed the power of governing man's fellow man to Noah, stating that whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That's Genesis 9:6. And from then on, the authority of governing man was invested in men. Ever since then, there has been human government under which men are placed. And after having led his people out of Egypt into the wilderness, God gave them the Ten Commandments and many ordinances. Among these was one which declared, thou shalt not revile God, nor curse a ruler of thy people, Exodus 22:28. This proves that God has put them under rulers. Even in Moses' time, the Israelites who resisted authority were actually resisting God. And although the rulers of the nations did not believe in God and their countries were under the dominion of Satan, the principle of authority remained unchanged. Just as Israel was God's kingdom and King David was chosen by God, so the Persian emperor was likewise said to have been set up by God. When our Lord was on earth, he was subject to the governing authorities, as well as to the authority of the high priest. He paid taxes. He taught men to render unto Caesar the things that were Caesar's, Matthew 22:21. And during questioning, when the high priest adjured him by the living God to tell whether he was the Christ, the Son of God, the Lord immediately obeyed. Now, when Pilate spoke to him, he didn't say nothing. Pilate wasn't authority over God. He wasn't an authority recognized by God. Thus, acknowledging in all these instances that they were the authorities on earth, our Lord was never a party to any type of rebellion. Many within the body of Christ think they have outgrown the need for mentorship, to be submitted to spiritual authorities, and they continue to appear before leadership ignorant of God's word and immature concerning the spiritual matters, and don't even recognize it. They are opinionated and generally like to tell authority their personal revelations. They always have an opinion and generally always have a revelation. Throughout the scriptures, we can clearly see the importance of understanding delegated authorities and being a delegated authority. There are spiritual mantles that we as servants receive at least those that faithfully serve under authorities. Can I go and inquire about your faithfulness at the last place you were? Did you meet with your overseer, or did you leave peacefully? Well, if you didn't, and you have an issue there, then this can be a new beginning for you in your life. We need to repent of judging God's leadership. God has no loners or independent workers, but a spiritual chain of command, apostles, elders, deacons, his congregational gifts, mentors, all working together, ministering to his body. And those that speak evil or complain in what God does through his authorities are in danger themselves of coming under the judgment of God. May we stand. Father, we come before you, the congregation of the Lord. In the course of our life here, God, we acknowledge that in our hearts, Father, we may have committed rebellion against authority, against our spiritual authorities. As spiritual authorities of God, Father, we pray to be found walking in integrity and humility. We ask you, God, as the congregation of the Lord, to forgive us, Father, for our transgressions. Forgive us, Father, for judging and being critical and judgmental of leadership. Father, we just repent of the criticalness and judgmentalness that we had. We took offense with others. We repent, Father, of anything that we said against leadership from our previous experiences before you called us into a greater enlightenment. Things that we may have said that I used to be of this, and I used to be part of this denomination, and we spoke it in a hatredness, in a judgmental spirit. Today we want to come before you, God, as the children of God, in humility, and confess it as sin, and acknowledge your governmental structure, your spiritual structure of authority, and your structure of authority in our authority figures in our country. We want to come before you today and make the slate clean. And ask that the blood of Jesus would cleanse us, Father, from all iniquity, from all that was in us, Father, that challenged authority, all the rebellion that was in our life, God. We pray, Father, to be cleansed this day. Father, I pray to take authority from our position in Christ Jesus, which is high above all Satan's principalities, world rulers, dominions. And from the third heaven, Father, I take authority over that spirit of rebellion, and I bind them this day in Jesus' name. I break your evil power, possession, authority over the members of the body of Christ. And I command this spirit of rebellion. You leave us now and you go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. All of the spirits under the chain of judgment and criticalness and challenging authority, whether it be spiritual authority or secular authority. Right now, Father, we confess before you. We command those demons to go in Jesus' name. We choose to walk in humility. We choose, Father, to serve. We choose to be under authority, God. And God, I pray, God, that you would direct us, God, to godly leaders and godly authorities, God, that we might submit our lives to, God, in obedience to Scripture, God. We pray for the mentors, God, that you'll raise up mentors in our land. Raise up mentors abroad, God. Father, we thank you, Father, for the work that you have begun in our life. We are confident that you will complete that work. And now, Lord, I pray, a excellent spirit be manifested in the workers of the Lord here, God. Father, that we are a people, God, after your own heart. Father, that the love of God would be in our lives, God, that we would do the work you've called us to do. Father, we thank you this day for the message of authority, understanding the fruit of authority. Thank you for touching our lives to be submitted to authority. Father, we thank you for the governing authorities of Lake Hamilton Church, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We thank you for the governing authorities that are represented here. And we thank you, Father, for the works that we have at home, for many of us have come from abroad to be here. God, we just bless those works. I bless those works in the name of the Lord. And Father, I pray this day and give thanks for the food that has been prepared for us. I bless it in the name of the Lord that it bring nourishment to our vessels. Bless the campground, Ron and Pat and all the gang back there, God, for their due diligence in working. God, we just so thankful for their authority, and we submit to them, Father. We just thank you for their protection and cleansingness and preparing our food and their care for us, God. And, Father, we want to remember them and our care for them in prayer with thanksgiving. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.